So these zero-day exploits, like, you don't have to download anything to get impacted from this. You don't have to click on something. You don't have to do something stupid to get hacked. It's just simply using your device or having your device. You get a notification and you could be hacked. Or maybe you're not even getting a notification. These 0 days, they're quite good, and your device is fully compromised afterwards, yep. Right? If you're not carrying a gun as a soldier or like a journalist or whatever, probably you're not on this list. But if by chance Joey I were to suddenly disappear next week, there may be a reason why, you know, because maybe I'm on the list, right?
How much longer until Kimmy K3 or one of these other models whips up a Pegasus clone, like a capable Pegasus clone?
That's exactly what I think we're seeing here. Something like that, that's capable of causing widespread problems without using the same old buyer.
Len, I'm disappointed this week. I'm disappointed because I didn't get the Apple security notification, even though I consider myself to be of marginal national importance, given my my visibility in the podcast space. I don't know. You don't have an iPhone, so maybe you don't feel the same way. But this is a down week for me now. I was having a good week, and then I saw this, and now I don't know. I might call in sick tomorrow.
You know what? You got to send some more posts on X that are going to ruffle people's feathers. Clearly, you haven't done enough yet. So turn it up a notch or two, and maybe next week you'll be on the... So yeah, well, a few days ago, they've alerted folks from Apple alerted people. This is either on the 13th or 14th, depending on what source you read. And Apple, they said that there's a security update that needs to be applied. And the details surrounding this are just a little disturbing, if you ask me, because the folks that were asked to do whatever they had to do, it looks like they were targeted. So these are a bunch of users in 110 countries, and neither of us were on that list. So look, either we flew under the radar, or they have yet to reach out to us to tell us that we're impacted by this. But nonetheless, I'm not an Apple user, so maybe they're not going to reach out to me. So people like journalists, activists, diplomats, and some business people, they were the ones that...
A soldier I saw? So that is like wild. That doesn't seem too low on the chain. Am I dreaming that?
No. Well, considering what this is all about, and I'll explain maybe some tinfoil hat theories here. So if you are not in one of those categories we mentioned, if you're not carrying a gun as a soldier or like a journalist or whatever, probably you're not on this list. But if by chance Joey I were to suddenly disappear next week, there may be a reason why, you know, because maybe I'm on the list, right? And I'm not celebrating the fact that I bought 120,000 Bitcoin and it went to 72. That's not why I would be leaving, but that would be reason for celebration. Either way, the alert from Apple is essentially telling people, it's a message saying beware and be vigilant, because there is a spyware group out there that is trying to get access to your device and compromise the security within it. So on the surface, you look at this and it just looks like another security type story, right? It's more than that. It really is. And because you got to look at the people that are impacted by this, that are threatened by this. It's a geopolitical story more than anything. That's really how you have to look at it. I get this, the security thing is secondary for the most part. And the reason I say this, it's out in the plain open, right? Like Apple calls these mercenary spyware attacks. That's what the terminology they use. But this isn't like a run-of-the-mill Nigerian prince scam type deal. Like it's more than that. Like you have the ability now to pay millions of dollars and get stuff developed. And we're talking stuff that would impact zero-day attacks. And if you go into this a little bit further, if you really dive deep, who has the ability to fund these type of attacks, right? And if not only do they have the ability, why would you fund it against certain opponents? So it all boils down to power. Who has the power? Who wants to maintain power? Who potentially has control of central banks? Who has unlimited budgets that they have nobody to really talk to or answer to, except maybe the common citizen out there. But in the end, they don't have any recourse. So this is, it's a recipe for having tools given to people, companies, or countries to get access to this. And in the end, the taxpayer is the one that's going to suffer as a result of buying this. So these zero-day exploits, like, you don't have to download anything to get impacted from this. You don't have to click on something. You don't have to do something stupid to get hacked. It's just simply using your device or having your device. You get a notification and you could be hacked. Or maybe you're not even getting a notification. These 0 days, they're quite good and your device is fully compromised afterwards, yep. Right? So they could find some sort of exploit in the corruption manager, or sorry, the memory manager, and you're going to get corrupted. And then, oh, your iOS will get corrupted, and then you're off to the races, right? Then this information could easily be linked to a sandbox and leaked out, and you'll never know it's happening. You'll never notice it. They get access to your microphone, your camera, what you see, what the camera sees, sorry, what the screen sees, essentially everything on there, right? So you got to be careful what you put on your phone. And what is even more scary about all this? So you had Apple come up with this information, but who is the attacker? We don't know. They're not naming anybody.
No.
And the question is why? And so then if you were them, if you were Apple and you start naming attackers, right? Why would they want to name a certain state or country out there as potentially doing these attacks, right? They'll turn Apple into applesauce almost immediately. So it makes sense for them to not want to do this. So then you have the people out there, the crowd of people that we stand with, insert country here. I don't want to name it. You know, they're the ones that are really behind this, right? They're always conditioning people, manipulating politicians. It's pathetic. But that's, you know, I'm really going into the weeds here. So the intention here from Apple, they want to keep the attackers anonymous. Okay, I get that. I understand that. It sucks. They don't want to play politics. All right, it is what it is. But this is now, even further, if you go a little bit deeper, this is all about surveillance. We've had so many stories about why they're getting our information, surveilling us, learning about us, our traits, our habits, what we speak.
Learning about us is the most generous way. I'm surprised you, of all people, put it that way. You're usually sharp with the words, but that is, I suppose that's how they describe it, right? They're observing your habits.
I want to be careful because I don't want to be under the thumb of certain people, right?
You might get a notification on your phone. I don't know.
So the NSO group, Pegasus, these are all names that we're familiar with, right? And, you know, also other companies too, or others, because now you have AI, the surveillance as a service is now available, and this could whittle your security down to absolutely nothing. You think you have a secure device, not so. And before it was just a few select governments that have access to this. Now with AI, now it's possible that maybe there's more sellers in the game, and which makes it, there's more buyers in the game, less restrictions. So again, these 0 days, they are nasty stuff. They don't really cost a heck of a lot. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, from what I understand, it's between $3 and $5 million to buy one of these 0 days on the open market. It's a lot of money for me and you, Joey, but for somebody that has access to a great deal of money, it's not so much. But then Apple has that lockdown mode that's available. Okay, I understand. It shuts things off, so you're less vulnerable to an attack. You know, no more previewing links and crap like that. But the lockdown mode, if you think about it, it's an admission that there's potential problems, right? And then potential problems that may exist on your device. And they give you this tool to like make it not as effective. So you buy this high-end device, and they're not blasting Apple. Everyone does it. Like my Android phone has something similar. So it's a way to say that these devices are not secure, and they are passing on the ability to the user to make your device less usable, which really sucks in the end. It's less functional. And could you really trust any platform if they're having
that's a big question. You and me know this better than most, especially after the last month or so. How many of these platforms can you trust now? Apple's answer to vulnerabilities is not, you know, I mean, eventually I suppose they would patch something like this, but the answer, as you mentioned there, is basically neutering the device right away.
That's the reality. So it goes back to, be careful what you put on there. Like, these Western governments always had access to this stuff. Now it looks like more people are going to get access to this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's certainly a problem. If there is a security patch out there, run it as soon as you can. Don't wait. Make sure it's legit too. I'm not sure how you would do it on Apple. I believe you have to go and account apple.com and check it out through that. But I'm not 100% certain. I'm not an Apple user. Nonetheless, be very careful when you're doing anything. Just make sure it's proper, you're up to date, and going forward, minimize your footprint online, on your phone, anywhere. If you do expose something, you know, this could potentially be used against you, your family, your friends, whatever it may be. It's a scary world. 2026, it is more scary today than it was at any other time. Just be careful with your data.
The thing that sticks out to me the most in this story isn't even that there was a problem that required, lockdown mode on a number of devices across 110 countries, by the way. That's a ton of countries. I think most people would look at that number and say, wow, this is a huge attack. I don't necessarily think that. I think probably what's happening there is the Apple devices are really making their way into a lot of countries that maybe they weren't present in before in higher numbers. And so that naturally that number of countries goes up. So I'm not really worried about that. What does worry me though is, like, what is the best way to word this? When they release like a huge number of notifications and emails saying you're, like, that didn't all happen at the same time or on the same day. It must have happened over some number of hours or days or weeks. And maybe once they accumulate that many, you know, or they get like help desk requests or whatever, like that's when they start to send the notifications out. We just don't know what that mechanism is. And they're private about it for good reason, I guess. But there's not really any postmortem either. It turns out that there's do you know how or who determines whether or not Apple was correct in their assessment of the security warning, let's say, elevated security level? You know, they go from one DEFCON to another during these moments. Do you know, it's some University of Toronto outfit.
Not a government agency.
No. And so there's not really like a true, I mean, I suppose Apple would say it's true third party. And to be honest, like if I got to choose between the government and U of T, like I'm going to take U of T 100 times out of 100. But it's not a huge landslide win going that direction, at least in my opinion. So there's not really like a good measuring stick for whether or not they're correct or incorrect or like what happened is exactly what they're describing happened. I am not disappointed because it's not really a surprise, but I'm angry, I think, is the emotion that I would feel if this happened to me, that Apple's not saying who's the responsible party. There's only so many people that can do something like this on this scale over that short an amount of time, assuming that it was, you know, days or hours or weeks that all this stuff, all these attacks or, you know, attempted attacks happened. Here's a question for you, given that we are, you know, Bitcoin guys by default. Related, you think, to the Kimi K3 release, the Quen release, these Chinese frontier models that, you know, broke the RNG. This is a generous interpretation as far as Cold Card and CoinKite are concerned, but broke the RNG on the hardware wallets up here in Canada. Is it related to these releases? You gotta think it is, right? I think we're gonna see so much more of this. And I know I'm kind of, you know, sounding a familiar alarm here, both in terms of this show and in terms of other shows that talk about cybersecurity and data breaches and whatnot. But man, you're in a different world now. Like you are in a world where nothing you thought was safe is safe, save for like SHA-256 for now. Like that level of encryption is safe. But I don't know, Len, it seems to me like there's a real effort around the world to disrupt modernity in the West. Whether it's through cyber attacks or immigration or social upheaval or communist politicians or whatever. Like every time we do this show, and I said this a few weeks ago, it's one thing to call these cybersecurity stories, and you echoed the thought today. This is a geopolitical story. How can you think it's anything else? It's not about whether or not people get to, you know, look at your photos on your phone or check your emails or like going to your bank account. It is, I think it's the furthest thing from that. I think that's tip of the iceberg type stuff. And people really have to be aware. It's the standard advice. If I go to the, you know, the Hacker News story, if I go look on Apple's own releases, update your phone, make sure your 2FA is on, make sure your passwords are strong. That's not enough. It's not enough. How many people have SHA-256 capable passwords on their phones? Anyone? A single person around the world, I suppose maybe some government officials, but I doubt it, honestly. The biometrics, I'm not sure exactly how those are encrypted, but you know, like you're in a world of pain here. And I think the thing to take away from this personally, I know we cracked a joke earlier about, you know, me and you weren't on the list, or, you know, I have an iPhone, I didn't get attacked. Man, if there's a Ukrainian soldier on the list, like it seems to me like the sort of tears that people were working through are no longer like human rights activists, presidents, politicians, business leaders. It's guys in the field. Like, I don't care how high ranking a soldier you are. It's very difficult for me to imagine that somebody would waste time with that. Unless, of course, as you mentioned, it was just an insignificant commitment and a shot in the dark. I think you're going to see way more of this. How much longer until Kimi K3 or one of these other models whips up a Pegasus clone, like a capable Pegasus clone?
That's exactly what I think we're seeing here. Something like that's capable of causing widespread problems without using the same old buyers. And yeah. So you're able
off brand, right? Yeah.
And so in the past, it was restricted to only a certain amount of people. But now if somebody else could create a similar product, then you don't have the same restrictions. You can sell to whoever you want. And really, who has the resources and desire to deploy this? Well, I mean, a lot of government.
It depends what you think you can get on the other end. Like, are you gonna take leverage against a bet that you can get something back for this? Like, I don't know. Maybe. Plus, it's 5 million. It's 3 million or 5 million. Even that much money anymore?
For somebody like me, yeah, but I guess for some, obviously, some others, bigger, it's not a huge thing.
Like, so a small, medium enterprise in the United States presumably has $5 million in capital, right?
Probably at least the ability to borrow it.
You know, like that is crazy, man.
And the deflation if you use that as a
hardware
way
to, and software engineering, you know,
imagine using that as a way to get access to your competition's
intellectual property. Why not? Why would you not?
You know, you really think about it, like it's scary. So to go back to one of the messages I was saying is be careful with what you put on your phone, but even what access your phone has access to on the line or wherever, because if somebody were to get access to your or infiltrate your phone and, you know, to your cloud services, your banking and all that, they could be an absolute mess. But the very least, you know, they're doing this, and we're talking about this and not other very important stories like pamphlets that are going out and discussing how we should be dealing with newcomers.
Oh,
so that's another good story that should be talked about.
That came out today. I think Mark and I will probably talk about that on the Ready show on Sunday. It's not directly related to Canada, but we are seeing some of the same people from the same engineering schools coming
everywhere
over here. So
it's not just
I know.
It's everywhere.
Listen, we're getting out of here. It's
the great
Thursday
state of Minnesota,
night.
For instance.
Yeah,
right?
I know. We're going to be leering more and more about these people as time goes on. We are out of here. Len, thank you for carrying the show the last 2 weeks. Listener, viewer, thank you for tuning in. And of course, the usual plugs, like the video, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate your support. Of course we do. We're here every week. I know a bunch of you guys are here every week too. Accessofeasy.com for the newsletter, which is in a new format this week. I think you're really going to like it. CanadianBitcoiners.com if you want to see more of Len and I talking about the economy, Bitcoin, Canada, and a lot of the madness going on around the world. And then Access of Easy has the other stories as well. I think I mentioned that already. Ready.ca if you're a high agency Canadian looking to figure out what's next for you the next 5, 10, 15 years. You don't want to leave, but you don't really like the way things are headed. And EasyDNS, if you want to enlist Mark for some registrar services, he's got you on that end. Until next time, friends, take care of yourselves.